Revelation 19, and I'll read from verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath in his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Well, may God bless that reading of his word to our hearts. As you know, we're going on Tuesday evening looking through the alphabet, letter by letter, and to use that letter to look at things in the scriptures we're told about the Lord Jesus Christ. And reaching the letter K, I want to look at Jesus as our King, indeed, the King of Kings. Now, Jesus as God the Son with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is King over all creation. We're told in the Psalms, his kingdom ruleth over all. And in the opening chapter of Revelation, we're told that Jesus is the prince of the kings of this earth. All those who have power and authority in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ is king over all of them. They can be cruel to those that they rule and reign over in their countries. But Jesus is merciful in many respects, not necessarily in saving mercy, but in different ways. He is merciful to all of his creation. These rulers and kings rule over a particular area in the world, but Jesus is king over the whole universe. They as kings die and their rule ends, but Jesus is a king who rules and reigns forever and ever and ever. And no language could possibly describe in a better way Jesus' supremacy as king than what we read there in Revelation 19. You have the same in Revelation 14, that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. We're reminded in these verses, in these passages, that Jesus as King of Kings will be victorious over the devil, over Satan. He'll be victorious over false religion, false teaching. He'll be victorious over everything in this world that is contrary to the will of Almighty God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was a message to the persecuted Christians in the first place, to comfort them and encourage them, the book of Revelation. And it's a message to the church for all time, a reminder to us that no matter the power of earthly rulers and nations, no matter what is done to God's people, and how some of these rulers and these nations may persecute believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is King of Kings. He is on the throne over all, ruling over everything for his own glory, for the spiritual growth of his church, and the spiritual good of his church. But not only is Jesus as God, God the Son, ruler over all, Jesus is the King of Kings, the King of a spiritual kingdom. As the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, he rules over a spiritual, not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual one. Jesus never came into this world to set up an earthly kingdom with earthly boundaries. Many of the Jews thought that was going to happen, but that's not what God had promised in his word in the Old Testament. No, he came to set up a spiritual kingdom made up of those he saved from all different nations in the world, in whose hearts he will rule and reign forevermore. And the blessings of his kingdom are not the things of this world. We're told in Romans 14, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So as king, he gathers his church. He saves sinners. He gathers them into his kingdom. And then as king, he protects those who are his subjects. No earthly king protects their subjects as Christ the King protects his subjects. He protects us from the devil. He protects us from the ungodly world. And even at times, you know, he protects us from ourselves. Christ, our King. He governs as King over all those who are in his kingdom by his Spirit through his word. We're told in the Psalms, he is the King of glory. And all who are part of his kingdom have entrusted in Christ to save them a sinner. We should acknowledge and we should delight in Jesus Christ, our King. One thing is certain is this. Jesus, our King, he should be a king who is loved by his subjects. Some kings and some queens in history have been well loved by the people in their country. Not necessarily universally, but generally speaking, well loved. Jesus, the King of Kings, the King of the spiritual kingdom, should be loved by everyone who is part of his kingdom. For after all, he's washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's redeemed us with his precious blood as a lamb without blemish and spot. He's been a propitiation for our sins. He's bore the wrath of God our sins deserve. And how we should love Christ our King. And if there is no love for Christ in the heart, there is no salvation and there is no hope. And should you doubt that, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 16. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. That is accursed when Jesus Christ comes again. All those are his subjects. All those who make up that spiritual kingdom of people saved by him, in whose hearts he rules and reigns, should love their king, should love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we express that love by wanting to please our king. We express that love by obeying the commandments of Christ, our King. We should obey Christ because as God the Son, he is King over all. And we should particularly obey Christ if we're part of his kingdom because he has saved us and he rules and he reigns in our hearts. But not only should we obey him, we should trust in Christ, our King, that he will rule and reign over his spiritual kingdom and over this universe in a way that is best. He will rule and reign over for the good and welfare of the church, and he will rule and reign over everything for the good of every single individual subject that makes up his kingdom, every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a king who we should acknowledge and confess. Most countries who have a king or a queen have a national anthem that they sing, confessing their king or their queen. Never been that enamoured with our own, to be honest with you, but that's just a matter of opinion. But we have one. God save our gracious king or our gracious queen, as it was. And also, the subjects of a king or a queen should be glad and willing to confess the one who is their king and queen. How much more those of us who are in the kingdom of grace, those who have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, should sing the praises of Christ our King, and we should acknowledge and confess Christ our King before other people. Part of his kingdom means that we have a responsibility to promote the glory and the honour of Christ our King. And when, as his subjects, we dishonour Christ our King by our sins before a watching world, how sad that is when we think about it. And seeing that in and through the Lord Jesus Christ we have been made kings and priests unto God, we're told, we should seek to be like Christ our King. More holy, more loving, more merciful, more compassionate. So you could go on and on. We should be like Christ, who is our King. When it comes to our spiritual lives, we are subject to Christ as King. So even though there are earthly rulers, earthly kings and governments that we're required by God to obey, if those rulers and governments give commandments contrary to the will of Christ our King, and then we're not to obey them out of fear of what they might do to us. We're rather to obey Christ, our King. Obey God rather than men. Having Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as our King, what a thing to be told in the Word of God that we are joint heirs with Christ, the King. Can you imagine if you were somebody in this country now and you are a joint heir with the King, you'd think, my word, there's going to be a lot coming my way. But what a thing it is spiritually to be joint heirs with Christ the King. But it's a source of grief and sadness for all those who know Christ as King, for all those who are part of his kingdom, that Christ our King is despised and he's scorned by so many particular people, rejected by people we may know well, the people we may love very much, all of whom will one day have to own and confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King. A King who they rejected, a King who they refused to have to rule and reign over them, a King then that will have to righteously and justly deal with them as all their sins against God deserve. He is the King of King. And when he comes again in power and great glory, we could put it this way. On his head will be a crown of the conquest of sin, because sin will be no more. On his head will be a crown of the conquest of suffering and sorrow, because there will be no more. On his head will be a crown of conquest of disease and decay and death, because there will be no more. On his head will be a crown of a conquest of the devil, because the devil will be no more. Jesus as King is a fundamental truth in the Word of God. King over all, as God the Son, and King over a spiritual kingdom made up of guilty lost sinners like ourselves, who he has saved. There's no higher authority than the Lord Jesus Christ. He rules over all. He reigns over all. His rule and his reign is absolute. There's no power on earth that can oppose the will of Christ our King and win. None at all. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we should remember that every moment is under his power, his rule, his authority. All that happens takes place under his rule, his reign, and fulfilling his sovereign purpose. So our Saviour, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And all that's happening in this world, as it's been down through history, at times confusing, perplexing, troubling, concerning, through it all, he's been ruling and reigning over all for the good of those who are part of his kingdom, collectively and individually. And it's a staggering thought, almost an unbelievable thought, but true. Jesus Christ, the King of kings, rules over everything that takes place, not just for the good of the whole church collectively, but for the good of every single individual member of it. So that, of course, includes you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.